the funniest conversations I ever have are people that says, I don't need cybersecurity. I haven't had an attack in years. Do you think maybe the reason you haven't had a breach in years is because the cybersecurity is working?
Yeah. I don't need to lock my car. No one's broken into it in years.
Yeah. You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. This is episode 387, and maybe the last one of the year or something like that.
Yeah. It should be the last one in 2022.
We're shutting it down.
For those of you who hadn't listened to the 200th episode, go do that, and that'll make sense.
God, well, you know what? We've almost doubled that now.
I know.
We're coming up on 400.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do. We need to do something interesting.
400 weekly episodes. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then we don't count the blooper shows in that number. So, you know, if it's not a new episode, we didn't count it. And that's, we've only had a handful. So, geez, a Pete.
What all started as a hey Donna,
you know those little gnats that get in your face and they won't go away and you can't kill them? That's what he was. He is still at times.
I am still. For those who don't know the story, Donna and I we'd be having these conversations about HIPAA and privacy and security and all that. And one day I said, you know what? We should record these because I think people would be very enlightened and interested in our conversations. They're very educational. And I was like, we should do a podcast. And she said, what's that?
I said, what am I going to do that?
And I said, everything.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, nothing much at all.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what you do. Here we are. But in today's episode, this is one of my favorites of the year. We're going to recap our predictions that we made of 2022 to see how right we were, because we're rarely wrong. We just want to see how right we were. and then we're going to put some stakes in the ground or on the grill, either way. But we're going to make our 2023 predictions.
Yeah, well, you know, we hadn't been too bold, but it seems that, you know, I started with a handful and then you doubled up on it. And, we'll see. That's all I'm saying. We'll see.
Well, you have those predictions that are easy. Like, I predict ransomware will be a thing. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, of course it will. You could even say ransomware is going to increase, and I would say, of course it will. we're trying again this year. We're trying to stay away from the ones that aren't shocking and going down the path of looking for what is something that, you know, we're pushing the envelope here. Is this a, you know, could it happen or not? And so those are the ones we're looking at. So not the ones that are obvious.
Well, and also, what are you going to be hearing about that you should worry about one way or another? Because in what we do, people are always talking. I mean, how long has blockchain been the cutting edge thing?
Since it came out.
I mean, at least 10 years, you know, we've heard about it. And it's still, there's still questions about, you know, where will we get with it? But the idea of Web 3.0, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is highly based on it. So there's still a lot.
Yep. I'm looking forward to the day when we start talking about the quantum computing problem that's been created.
No, I don't even want to think about that because, I mean, that's going to be...
It's going to break everything and fix everything all at the same time.
Everything we know to be true will no longer be true.
Yeah, it's going to be bad and good, but
bad and good. But we won't worry you with that today. Let's do a quick review of, you know, our normal process.
All right. Well, before we dive into that, I want to remind everybody, time is running out on the PriceAct Bootcamp. So you better get your tickets.
You better work.
That's right.
For those of you who get that.
If you don't know, it's going to be March 12, 13, 14, and 15. It is a 3.5-day in-person live event. And you can find out more at PriceActBootcamp.com. Seating is very limited and running out.
And we do welcome all levels of understanding, whether it's technical, non-technical, administrative, legal. We welcome you all. The more the merrier. We like to have good conversation. So
yep.
And check
most
it out.
Most of you folks have to have CEUs anyway, and we have a ton at this event. Yeah. So you got to get them anyway. You might as well get them with us.
Yeah, 20-something live CEUs. Can't beat it.
Nope.
Pre-approved, so you get a document and everything from CCB, Compliance Certification Board. And check it out. Go to
PriceActBootcamp.com. Every time somebody says check it out, I remember back in the day when I had a Wii, a Nintendo Wii, and there was some little game you would play, and the little dude would be, he'd go, check it out, check it out, check it out, check it out.
I still love playing those little games. You can bowl all day long. My favorite thing on Wii bowling is when we're, you know, we get the beer, we make it like a bowling alley. It's all cool. Everybody's bowling. And you, at some point, someone will always wait for the little me bowling person to go first. you go ahead.
I got proper etiquette. That's
yeah,
awesome.
That's when we're like, yeah, let's get another beer for you. All right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I had a bowling game last week. I think it was last week I was in Orlando. And my son that's home from Germany, all I heard from him for months is, when I get home, Dad, we're going bowling. I'm going to tear you up. I'm going to beat you in bowling, because, you know, they can never beat me in bowling. You know, he's sends me all these screen or these pictures of him going bowling, and he's got these high scores, and, you know, he's got all these new skills. And then we go bowling. He couldn't even break 100. He was so mad.
It's just under aura of Dad.
I know. I was like, too much pressure, isn't it? So anyway. All right. I want to say thanks to our donors. We appreciate it. We've appreciated it all year, and we will appreciate it in the year to come. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, let's dive into HIPAA Say What, because although some things are doing more, there are some things that are doing less. And Alexa is one of those that is doing less.
I mean, we haven't really. We did an episode on Alexa getting healthcare HIPAA-ready skills and how they created this area for third-party developers and all of this kind of stuff. And we said then it was going to be pretty tricky to, and it was going to be interesting to see what came of it.
Well, now we know what came of it.
Wah, wah, wah.
Can we play the death march? Dum, dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum, dum. Yeah. So they have announced they're no longer doing the third-party HIPAA skills anymore. And by the time this on, it'll be weeks past it. I did find it interesting that they were not even going to notify people that might be using those skills.
No.
That it's going to stop working. But basically, you know, they're doing their own stuff, but you as a third-party developer will not have access to HIPAA, PHI, approved protected areas to store the data. You can do whatever you want. It just can't fall under HIPAA.
Mm-hmm.
So either it was so tricky nobody did it, or people did do it and it was so tricky they didn't want to maintain it. And I'm going to go with probably number one, because if it was people were doing it a lot, they would make a lot of money on it.
Mm-hmm.
and then they could maintain it. So I'm going to lean towards it was too many variables, too many things, maybe even a little too early, because neither one of us like having the Alexis sitting around medical settings. So,
Nope.
But, you know, one way or another, yes, we covered it. Yes, we talked about how many things seemed like they were going to be hard to deal with. And now it's gone. And that is why I did not invest even a pinky in trying to do more than review it and go, yeah, I'm going to wait that one out.
Yeah. Well, we try to tell you guys that, you know, IT goes fast. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah. But, so yeah. That's our, you know, HIPAA Say What number one. And then our HIPAA Say What number two is y'all better be paying attention, because we've been notified. We covered this recently that there were several notifications about specific ransomware gangs targeting the health and public health sector, HPH. And HC3, the health care coordinator, I don't know.
Yeah, coordinating health council.
Yeah. Anyway, we've been getting alerts about this from HHS. And so now there was yet another one. So here are the different ransomware gangs they have warned us about this year, and I would say most of them have been the second half of the year. So Royal is the most recent. Cuba, Venus, Lorenz, and Hive. All of them specifically targeting healthcare, and particularly this Royal group targeting healthcare in the United States. And if you haven't noticed the news, and this is one of those where I just keep watching it, you know, wait until there's something for us to cover. The Common Spirit Health said 142 hospitals, over 2,200 care sites across 21 states. This goes back to, at some point, it is too big, because all of those have a smattering of problems. Not like every single one, but there's a smattering of problems across that health system, and it's been going on since October. I know, here we are, the end of the year. I know it's not completely cleaned up. There hasn't been a ton of information released yet. I'm hoping that they would really do a good case study of what happened and what they learned, like Vermont did, or the University of Vermont Medical Center, rather. But we think they're one of the ones that is being hit by one of those. I hope it's one of those five and not another one that we're going to hear about later, you know?
Yeah. So.
Anyway, there's our two big things under HIPAA Say What.
Should we mention that it's not a good idea to go on TikTok and complain about patients?
Yet again, here we are in Atlanta.
Cutting edge.
I know, right? I was just doing a seminar thing on site last week, and I was telling people, look, I don't even have to leave the Southeast to get all this juicy brand new stuff. And that was the day this story came out, probably, of, first of all, you shouldn't be on TikTok. No to the TikTok, period.
Yeah. Well, there's a state government that I think that banned it for their employees.
Yeah. You should not be on it. No one should be on it. If you want to do that, that's why YouTube has YouTube Shorts. Not short pants, short videos.
That's right.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. And not the kind of shorts that you wear under your pants. It's YouTube Shorts. There you go. That ought to help you remember it. YouTube Shorts. Kind of like there.
They should do YouTube Tops.
Hey. Now we're going to go way down in so many ways that we shouldn't. So I'm going to reboot the conversation. Stay off TikTok.
Yeah.
Period. Whoever you are, don't be on TikTok. I mean, there are so many security issues. you don't even want to hear us go off. Just don't do it. Just say no. We're not even going to say there, if you use it in a certain way, it's okay. It will never be okay. Period. All right. So that being said, yes. And you know, these folks, it didn't seem like they released identifiable patient information, but you know that these labor and delivery nurses who were doing their ick, which is, you know, the thing that drives them nuts about actual patients in labor and delivery. And, you know, many of them young. We don't have to. But they were all covering what their ick thing was. And it was everything from, and clearly the one who said this has not had a baby. I have not had a baby, but I have been around enough women. You should know this. When they say, how much does your baby weigh and you're still holding it? Okay. There are so many things wrong with that being an ick, because if you just pop one out, you're not really clear on what's going on.
Yeah. Probably right. Still under the influence of something.
Right. If you are a parent, then you are freaking right on out, unless it's like your fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, friend of mine from college was the fifth child. She said she was born on the way in on the gurney, they never even made it to the room. That's different. But anyway, these all of them were fired from Emory University Hospital.
Well, my favorite one by far is when the person said that their ick is when you go from room to room between one baby mama and another baby mama.
I'm like, really? You know, and no matter what, people will know who those people are that they're talking about.
Yeah, because, you know, how often can that possibly happen where you are in the hospital with two different baby mamas at the same time?
Having babies. I mean, I hear about it happening, but it can't be a regular thing. So that had to have been just a specific stab for a... Now, if it is a regular thing, y'all go ahead and tell us about it. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
How often it really happens. But there you go. So again, stay off TikTok. No reason to be on it because, number one, not secure. It's really bad. Don't go near it. And number two, people do stupid stuff on it.
Yep. And as we're talking, I see that Amazon sent out an email to everybody to say, look out for online scammers. So that's the subject line. So even Amazon is trying to tell you, look, things are ramping up this time of year.
Yeah.
Now, of course, by the time this comes out, Christmas would be behind us, but...
Well, yeah. It's still, though, next you're going to get into all the W-2 fakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always something.
You know, the scams are always happening. You must assume it's a scam until you prove it's not.
Yep.
All right. That's a prediction we can just throw in for 2023. You should always... You could never stop doing that. Just always assume it's a scam.
All right. Let's blitz through what our predictions for 2022 were and how close we got. And then we'll dive into what we've got on 23 coming up.
So, number one, supply chain will continue to be a big story for two reasons. Cyber attacks in the supply chain and the inability to get equipment that is up... That,
yeah,
yes.
100% nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, the inability to get equipment still comes and goes as a problem depending on what you're after. Yes, we knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, ransomware will continue to evolve,
yeah, and it did.
I mean, we just did a episode about three new ways they're going after you,
mm-hmm.
Right? And they're continuing to try new ways to launch it, new ways to hold it for ransom, get money out of you. Yes. More pressure on businesses to do better. We had several things under here.
Yep. So the first one was cyber coverage rates will be skyrocketing, will force many companies to rethink the I have insurance approach. So that's happening. It's not happening as fast as I'd like to see it.
Yeah, well, with one of the brokers that we work with, who said we got a quote for $8,000, and then when they filled out their application and they weren't using MFA and something else, it went to $23,000. Okay, yeah. You know, that's a small business trying to figure out how you're going to pay that. Mm-mm. So, yes, it is happening, but you're right. Everybody's just now renewing. When they get to that next renewal, whenever it is, it's going to be a shock.
Mm-hmm. The other thing about insurance, it will increasingly depend on the existing level of cybersecurity posture. And so that's when we're talking about using frameworks and having a PriceSec program and all this kind of stuff. So,
yeah. SEC penalties for lack of transparency will extend to vulnerabilities and not just incident disclosure. We're not seeing that yet. I did see the DOJ said the Uber security. The Uber security officer was fined and sent to jail, I think, for hiding an incident.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. DOJ said they think that's an outlier. They're not going to have to do that a lot. We'll see. So that one really not been a big one, but also not off the table. Did I cut you off on something else that you were going to say?
No. Nope, not at all.
All right, lead on.
Next one under that one was the new cryptocurrency regulation in several countries will change the nature of ransomware, discouraging any of the bigger gangs who typically target large organizations.
Cryptocurrency's had its own.
Yeah, problems.
Problems. And so the downfall of cryptocurrency is impacting things, but then again, not. Because they're coming up with new things. So.
Ransomware disclosure laws proposed by Senator Warren will get pushback for private companies. Still, the list of terrorist organizations that can't be paid ransomware will increase greatly to make up for it.
We have added terrorist organizations. And we designate. And all of this was done before the invasion of Ukraine and the war in Ukraine. Russia certainly has ramped up its cyber terrorism as well as everything else. And we've talked about that several times. But is it part of this proposed disclosure law? No. So, no. But yes, but no. It's on all of them. It's not like it didn't happen. But again, it wasn't huge.
Yep. State privacy and fraud regulations that can be used as they were in recent New Jersey cases.
And we've seen more.
Yep. And then last one was just a question. How will regulations affect businesses? Is it going to be a carrot or a stick?
Well, and we did, just review some of those ideas in the Warren White Paper of policy ideas, trying to come up with more of a carrot than a stick.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay. All right. The fourth one, because we have a lot of the subcategories under some of these. The fourth one is HIPAA-specific recognized security practices adoption and privacy rule. Number one, changes are past due for privacy. The NPRM for the privacy rule changes that's been sitting around for over a year. There's a lot of good things in it, so hopefully they'll make some headway on that. And we have seen that.
Well, yeah, we just talked about the blending or balancing of part two for some of it, but there still needs to be more done, but right now, cybersecurity is so much of a problem that you just don't have the resources to focus on a lot of that. But the part two, that really needs to be done. So hopefully that will get done.
All right. Under that one, RecSec can be done now, but needs specific implementation guidelines from OCR.
And we did get them. We just reviewed those guidelines in the video from Nick and just shared that with y'all.
Yep.
And we have continued to see them ask for it. And we have continued to develop methods for proper documentation and implementation of recognized security practices. So what?
Yeah. All right. Number five, vulnerable software will continue to be discovered regularly, including 0 days. Man, I mean.
This was yours for sure. These were your two that you added at the end.
So VPNs, RDP, the internet is going to be held together with, what is it, spit and baling wire?
That's you. That's how I knew it was you.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing that all the time. The whole 0 day thing. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had more updates to things happening more rapidly recently. You know, my seems like every week my browser needs to be updated. My phone's had more updates this year. I mean, everything I've got is pushing out more and more updates because they're not just 0 days, but they're critical 0 days.
Right. So they're actively being used without a solution in place. That's not good.
Mm-mm.
Not good at all.
So I mentioned the Log4j patch, which I think we got through most of that without terribleness.
I just saw an article this weekend that I think it was local governments. Tons of local governments are still getting hit with Log4j.
Really?
Well, you know, ain't nobody got time to worry about that.
I mean, yeah, but even the ability to know it's a problem shouldn't be that hard.
Exactly.
You know, whether you can fix the problem is one thing, but at least know you have the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness. The last thing, home network routers. Yeah, I mean, we're still seeing problems with those. That, you know, they're not being patched. I had one that I'd bought a while back. It hadn't been that long ago, probably 2 years ago. In IT time, that's a lifetime. But the reason I bring it up is I'd hooked it up recently. It was looking at something, and I said, I'm just going to update the firmware on it. That way I can use it for something. There was no firmware updates from the date that it was produced. Not a single firmware update. You cannot convince me that this thing does not need a firmware update. No. Mm-hmm. But they're not even putting them out. And this is a major brand. So stay away from those things. And I still see businesses and medical practices using these things they buy off the shelf. It's a home network router. I get it. It will function. But just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
Well, that gets back to the language of business class firewall.
Mm-hmm.
We had a whole discussion about that recently, about business class firewall.
Yep.
It's not a firewall. It's a business class firewall, which is really a security device. But I digress.
If you bought it off the shelf somewhere, it ain't what you need.
That's right. That is correct.
And then the last one. This was an honorable mention because I wasn't so sure of it, but I mentioned deep fakes and how that might impact security. I don't know if you've been following some of this stuff, but it is scary how good these things are now.
Mm-hmm.
I've not yet seen or heard of it from a cybersecurity perspective, like being used as a weapon yet, but just things coming out all the time that are deep fakes. As a matter of fact, Bruce Willis sold his likeness to be able to be used in deep fakes so that he can still be in movies without being in movies. And they have one commercial so far that's been put out. I think it was some Asian company put out a commercial with him in it, which wasn't him in it. It was his AI, and it was deep faked. Wow. But you've got that. There's, I don't know if you follow Joe Rogan, his podcast, you know, number one podcaster and massive. There was recently a deepfake put out with him interviewing Steve Jobs. And the interesting part about it, and I'm hoping I'm not getting this right, was not only was it a deepfake, but the AI was carrying on its own interview. This was not fed into the system. This was basically like, here's the parameters. You're Steve Jobs and you're the other guy and Joe Rogan, and y'all talk to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and everything you see now is, AI voice, and, you know, we could subscribe to things that have avatars that look like real people talking in our videos, but I'm still weirded out by it.
Yeah. I saw one today. I think it was an app that you can put on your phone.
Yeah.
You put a picture, like a still shot picture, like you and your family, you put it in there and you pick a song and it animates your people in your picture. It looks like you're singing.
Yeah, where's that app from?
Oh, I don't, probably Russia, but
that's the exact kind of app that alert. What was the one that they found out that was, you know, and this is the same thing. It's where it takes a photograph and makes it a piece of art.
Yeah. So again, from the cybersecurity standpoint, I have not heard of or seen it being used yet, weaponized, but how far they've come in 1 year with what they can do with this stuff blows my mind.
Well, and they're already doing the things where they're calling you up and saying they're so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now yep. They'll just take it, you know, have a whole ad campaign that's a deep fake of, and you won't even know about it.
Well, there is a commercial on TV. I think it's a car commercial, but it's for like a small car lot, like in Charlotte. But the guy doing the voice is Morgan Freeman. Now I'm like, you can't convince me they paid Morgan Freeman to do the voice. It has to be one of these deep fake things that they used.
Yeah, the AI voiceover. I mean, there's so many options of that out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're about to try to make one of those, just some little stuff here, using those generated voices, and it's pretty interesting. You know, I'll just type this in and you'll get the voiceover.
Yeah. All right. So all in all, I think we did pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
You know, these are the things though that we want to predict and be wrong. We really want to be wrong.
Some of them we do. We really do.
All right. Let's dive into what we think is going to happen in 2023. So we've got 12, and we don't have a lot of subcategories on these, so shouldn't be too bad. So number one, which was something you put down here, cyber coverage costs will be driving adoption for formal cybersecurity programs more than regulations will.
Yeah, regulations can't change quickly, nor can their enforcement level be the same as an $8,000 bill jumping to a $23,000 bill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, you know, that alone is really pushing that envelope that says you have to show you're actually doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you can't say you're using MFA everywhere, or most, at least on your email and access to major line of business applications, that's, you're out. It's going to triple your cost. So I see that really starting to push more people in that line than anything any of the regulations can do. Now, the regulations are not going to go away. They have to be there because, you know, we have to manage to the lowest common denominator. One of my mentors taught me. That's what you manage to. And when you're managing a massive industry like healthcare, tell me what choices you have. So well, that's what we have to do.
Didn't we have Australia recently had some kind of major cybersecurity law that was passed?
Yeah. Yeah, I think theirs is about notifications and that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, but it's much more stringent than what we're doing here. So, yeah, mm-hmm. looking for that to swim across the ocean.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing, we're not going to get regulations out of anything. But the cost of the cyber coverage and the cost of being down, those are the things that are going to change.
Yeah. All right, so speaking of cost number two, this is something that I was started to put something similar to this, and I read yours, and I'm like, okay, we're on the same page. So you put tight budgets. We'll continue to squeeze out as much as possible from IT and cybersecurity, but there isn't much more that can be squeezed. Right. A, the budgets are already short, and it shows. And B, those who cut more will most likely be the ones that's going to be worried about the impact of number one, which is your cyber coverage. And so what I was going to add to that is that with the fear of looming recession, whether that happens or it doesn't happen, you're going to start seeing people, matter of fact, I'm already seeing people that are cutting back on IT. They're cutting back on cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is one of those things that's in the background. People don't know what it's doing, and therefore they say, well, I don't need it. The funniest conversations I ever have are people that says, I don't need cybersecurity. I haven't had an attack in years. Do you think maybe the reason you haven't had a breach in years is because the cybersecurity is working?
Yeah. I don't need to lock my car. No one's broken into it in years.
Yeah. Maybe because you locked the car, nobody's broken into it. I mean, it's just, but yeah, you're right. When people start getting squeezed and budgets start shrinking, it's unfortunate that oftentimes they look at IT because sometimes it's a big line item and they're like, okay, how are we going to cut costs?
Yep. And unfortunately, everybody that has studied this says that the percentage spent on IT and cybersecurity is already too low in healthcare to protect healthcare. So they want healthcare to be better protected, but that's where you're going to cut. We see it happen all the time. Now, it is unfortunate. You'll see the big cut, and then they come running back. Because, wait a minute, now I've been hit. And that's when you don't want them to realize. I want you to realize before the crisis. But again, it's business risk management. Everybody's got to make their decisions. You know, I'm looking at where I can cut. I know you're looking at where you can cut. But I'm not cutting on my cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it rolls.
Yep, that is true. All right, number three, recognized security practice education will begin to create discussions with leadership concerning implementation. I hope so.
We got to get, I mean, this kind of goes in line with the previous two.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because they're going to want to cut things, and we got to show them why you don't want to. Recognized security practices can save you in the long run, and it'll likely save you from getting the huge increases in cyber coverage.
Yep. Yeah. So for those folks that typically would say, well, that's why I have insurance, is to cover, you know, if something happens, what we're saying is, this is why you have recognized security practices, to cover when something happens, so that you can have insurance to cover when something happens.
True that.
Well, number four.
It'll mitigate the cost. And that's the thing that you've got to look at, is that long-term cost will be huge. And are you willing to risk everything? Because it reaches that point. If you cut your cybersecurity coverage, you cut your IT, you cut the cybersecurity, you're saying, you know, come on and get me.
You're saying, we take your privacy and security seriously, just like every other breach notification letter.
That's right. Anyway. But the important thing is, still so many people don't understand about recognized security practices. Our education efforts are starting to pay off. We're starting to have better conversations. We're starting to hear about it. But we just got to get that outreach done a whole lot more. And I know that 405D, the ambassador program, you know, that's a lot of the thing of figuring out how to educate.
Yep. Well, the thing I love most about it is we're getting away from this compliance conversation.
Right.
And I think that's where people roll their eyes. You've got people that's been in healthcare all their life, and they know that compliance is just this thing that's there, and they don't have to follow it because all this stuff. I mean, we're getting away from that conversation. So I think that's going to be good. Number four, healthcare cybersecurity will get attention in Congress, since it is one of the very rare things that both sides can work together and accomplish something.
Yeah. It's one of the few things we've gotten stuff through.
Yeah.
I mean, recognize security practices that came through when there's madness. There's going to be even more madness. And it is indeed something they'll both work on. You know, at least the ones that actually want to do work instead of, you know, what is the primp in front of the cameras? You know, like the peacock, right? You know?
Yeah.
In front of the cameras.
Yeah. Well, I think people are now starting to connect the dots to say lack of cybersecurity means people will die.
Yeah.
And so now there's a renewed interest in, okay, this is actually is a problem we should probably be solving here.
Right. And you go back to the discussion we had about Warner's policy, white paper on policy suggestions in healthcare cybersecurity. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, is that was policy that could be discussed. And could we do things that involve payment, that involved requirements, not just the stick, but give us some carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
All right. Number five, cybersecurity will change at an even faster pace, but that's going to be on both sides. The threats will increase. They'll also evolve at a faster rate, but also the cybersecurity tools and the defenders, the information, all that's going to change at a rapid pace as well. For those of you who aren't doing this day in and day out, you're going to get left behind quickly. Mm-hmm. Even those that are doing this is going to be hard to keep up.
So, if you think that all you need is an antivirus, you are already behind.
Yeah. I would say what you're doing in January is not going to be enough for December. It's going to be that crazy.
I think it was true this year.
Yeah.
You know, and definitely, I think we'll continue to be. I mean, Moore's Law, we've already blown through it, you know. So, anyway, proceed.
All right. Number six, Web 3.0 AI will be the buzzwords of the year, working in tandem.
I absolutely. I mean, it's everywhere now already. Web 3.0 is supposedly the next iteration of the web where it's decentralized and there's... It's great ideas, and it worries about using blockchain and a whole lot of other things. And it counts on AI managing all of that decentralization. Well, the thing is that whatever you feed AI, that's what it learns. And we are learning that now because they're trying all of these cool things that they teach it here. This is everything. Go read everything that Steve Jobs ever said. And now be Steve Jobs. What would he say to this and carry on a conversation? And there's more and more of that that is going on behind the scenes of it figuring things out and managing attacks and blocking bad behavior. In theory, AI is an intricate part of Web 3.0 with blockchain managing security. In theory. And everybody's talking about it. Or at least it's at the nerd level peak where it'll start to bleed over. At least I think so. You're going to hear those terms, and here's the bottom line. It ain't happening this year. Just know everybody's going to talk about it like it's about to happen, but it ain't. There you go. That's why I like to just know those words are out there, but don't worry about them.
All right. Next one, human operator ransomware. Now, We've talked at length about this one, but I think it's going to be a bigger threat because, and this kind of goes back to number five, we were talking about the increased speed of things. The attacks are going to be more advanced. Human-operated ransomware is going to be a more inevitable threat, and the gangs that are using more sophistication will mean that security teams are going to have to adopt faster. So,
well, and I mean, these the attackers are merging with each other. You know, they operate in a profitable business manner, just like we're trying to.
The funny thing is they have the money to grow and expand, while at the same time we're talking about IT and cybersecurity cutting costs. That is exactly a bad, bad equation.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is exactly the way it is set up and why it's become so successful for the criminals. I mean, trillions of dollars gone into that. And then you got the nation states funding it because they can make money, they can steal secrets, they can bring down industry. There's so many things behind it. So they're dumping money into it. There's money being thrown left and right towards attacking you. Please keep that in mind when you're trying to cut your budgets.
Yeah.
The other side ain't doing it. They're not suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if they were cutting their budgets, then maybe you could cut yours. But, I mean, you know, it's like you've got somebody who they were shooting at you with a BB gun, but now they got a real gun. And we know by the end of the year, they're going to have a tank. But at the same time, you're taking and you're knocking down your walls and putting up a straw hut.
Yeah.
it's not good.
when we should be solidifying a lot of things.
Yeah.
Fortifying everything is really, I mean, it is what it is, but you're right. The human operated ransomware, HOR, which we're not allowed to use, but they are, I just read where one team, because now they're all different businesses. So there's a business that's set up just to go out there and get access to computers on networks, and periodically they'll test and see if it's there. And if they're still getting access, then they'll sell it to someone else to actually go in and get into the network, move laterally. But that's when your human operated ransomware comes from. Not from that first encounter to the second one, but I just read where they are actually merging two companies, one that did find and establish the beachhead with the human operated ransomware gang. They're merging, and then they're going to be able to sell it to the other guys, the ones they don't use.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, well, we just get first shot. Okay. All righty then.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Makes you think.
Yeah. Makes me nervous.
All right. Number 8. And as much as I don't want to put this on the list again, supply chain is still going to be a big news.
Yeah.
So
both from cyber attacks as well as the ability to get parts and equipment.
Yep. And certainly watch out MSPs. You know, your IT firms, they are still a major target because we hold the keys to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I'm hoping that the vetting of IT vendors, and I don't mean people that I'm doing business with, but people who are doing business with me, my clients, I'm hoping that they're going to start doing a better job of vetting, because I have still yet to have a single new client vet me or vet anybody else they're hiring. I'm watching. It's not happening.
Yeah. So. Well, unless, you know, we sent them to you, but then you came pre-vetted.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, it's not only that, but a lot of them, I tell them, look, if you're vetting, I get it that you vetted, you know, potentially vetted me when you hired me, but you should go back through a vetting process periodically. Yep. Because things change. Whether it's me or it's another client, somebody who was good for you a year ago may not be good for you now.
Exactly. So,
you know, you got changes in ownership, change in technology. You know, unfortunately, some of these IT companies are going toward cutting cost. Cutting cost means they might be getting a hold of things that aren't good for you anymore and putting those things in your business. You know, you hired, a marketing firm who's putting Facebook pixels on your website. There's all kind of stuff, all kind of reasons to be vetting. So, vet your marketing companies and everything. So I'm hoping that gets better, but I haven't seen a lot of people do it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I am starting to see it change, but I have a different perspective than you do.
Yeah.
But you're
seeing it change. You're seeing it change because you're the one making it change.
maybe. I don't know, but I am seeing it happen more often. And I don't, how about this? I don't have so many companies pitching a fit that we're doing it anymore.
Okay. That's progress.
Yeah, they're not pitching a fit saying nobody does this. I don't have to tell them it's coming. It's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. You know. And for all of you who never called and said you were right, it's okay. I don't need you to.
Alrighty, number 9. Attacks against critical infrastructure will be a problem. And I'm not just talking about cyber attacks.
We just did the power station, the power grid one.
Yep. And, if you guys remember, we had one that was, it was cyber, but we had the water supply down in Florida, that got hit. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to still see critical infrastructure be a problem. And, the main reason it's a problem, number one, is it causes the most havoc. And number two, it's most likely to get you a good payday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Real quick, if people think you're going to poison an entire city.
Yep.
Or you're shut down for a week or two.
Number 10, I am absolutely certain this one will happen.
I saw you put this there and I'm like, all right, you go now.
Number 10, Donna and David will refresh and relaunch HIPAA for MSPs and Cardin Club. It's going to be the premier and exclusive resource for PriceSec, both within the healthcare entities and managed service providers. We're coming out with a CHMSP certification, and it's going to be the only certification for MSPs accredited by a healthcare accreditation association.
Yeah. We're finishing the test. January is launch.
Yep. There is no other place on the planet the MSPs can get a certification from a healthcare accreditation association that they know something about HIPAA and privacy and security. This is it. So if you are a healthcare entity, start asking your MSPs, do you have the CHMSP certification? Have you taken it? Are you a member of HIPAA for MSPs? Do you know about Cardin Club? All these things, because we're helping you do. I just mentioned that people don't vet like they should. We're helping with that. Not that we're vetting for you, but we're giving them the training and the information they need so that they understand they should be getting vetted, and they will help you through that process.
Indeed.
Hopefully they come to you and say, you don't have to vet me because here's all my information already. Here's everything you should be asking me. Here's the answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hear.
Yeah, and they're not going to push back against things when you ask them because they know. They should know everything that they should be doing for themselves and for you. And they're only going to know that if they're part of some type of organization like HIPAA for MSPs that is training and teaching them what they should be doing, why they should be doing it, and constantly keeping them up to date. They have to be fully involved in it. It can't be just pay a vendor a bunch of money and they put a seal on your site and start sending you business. That is not working.
No.
So start asking. Number 11, user authentication methods will change and hopefully improve because, Google just released their new authenticated token system that, hopefully when it's, more widely adopted, it's going to push us all in the right direction. And, we might even start seeing people say, passwordless is a thing.
I know. I'm trying to figure out how to do it. I'm wanting to do it so bad.
Yep. So I keep seeing it, passwordless this and passwordless that, but we're just not there. It's almost like email. Everybody says it's going to kill off email, and that's not happening either.
Doing more with, I define an identity, And then I can log into my identity management, and then that knows who I am on all these other systems.
Mm-hmm. And which is good and also terrifying at the same time. Indeed. Because even though you have to only protect that one thing, that also means that if you don't protect that one thing, it's going to be bad for you.
Yeah, which just as a quick little diversion, LastPass, what's going on there, we'll cover it in another episode when we got more data. But for now, David and I aren't making any changes, in case anybody asks.
Yep, that's true.
And on the authentication thing, we did a whole episode talking about this and FIDO.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, drum roll, please. Cyber risk management will, your favorite word, proliferate. So I'm hoping, this is a prediction, but it's also a hoping, fingers crossed, that people are going to start talking about cyber risk management more than just cybersecurity, more than just IT. Cyber risk management is a very different way to look at cybersecurity than just throwing tools in place and spitting out some automated reports.
Yeah, it's treating cybersecurity as a business risk, which is what we have been really focused on gearing things towards this year, and really have ramped that up, and we'll continue that into next year, because business risk management is everything. Cybersecurity is one of your risks. Privacy issues is one of your risks. Compliance with regulations is one of your risks. They all need to be treated as a risk.
Yep. So there you have it, folks. There's our 12 predictions for 2023. So join us next year when we talk about how well we did. All right. Anything else that you have to say, Donna, before we close out the year?
Happy New Year. Okay. That's it.
All right, folks, let's wrap it up. Maybe we can get into 23 without too much hoopla.
I know. Hopefully, I got my fingers crossed. I don't. I remember going this time in 2019. Like 2019 has been a hellacious. It was an awful year for me personally, and 2020 was gonna be my year.
Mm-hmm.
Wah wah wah.
Yeah. You know. A lot of people were saying in 21, they were like, this is just a repeat of 2020. I
know. See, 2021 just told, I remember like in January, somebody said 2021 just told 2020, hold my beer. Yeah. So yeah. 2022 has not been that bad, thankfully. It hasn't been good.
Yeah. I remember I said something to one of my kids the other day, and I said something about last year, and he goes, no, that was 2019. I said, no, it was last year. We don't count 20 and 21.
I wish.
Yeah, that makes me 2 years younger. All right, folks, that is our show for the year. Remember to follow us and share us out on your favorite social media site. Rate us. Give us a review. I mean, just put out there, look, this is the best podcast I listened to all year.
There you go. That's what we need, people. That's what we need.
That's right. All right. For Donna and myself, remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grindel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grindel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.